All right, if you take your Bible, please, and turn to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 30. And as you turn to Proverbs chapter 30, let's go ahead and pray and ask God's blessing this evening on the preaching of his word. Our Father, we thank you once again for the honor that we have of opening this blessed old book. And we pray, Lord, that as we seek the scriptures this evening and we search the scriptures, that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, teach us and instruct us in the things that you would have us to know, and then help us to take what we learn and make a practical application of them to our lives. Lord, help us not just to be hearers of the word, help us to be doers of the word. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You know, it's always interesting when you're attending a funeral service to hear what the pastor will have to say about the person that's passed away. And the reason it's important is because everybody leaves behind some kind of legacy. Every one of us has a reputation for one thing or another. Think about like famous people. We know, we know certain things. Like we know that Elvis Presley was a very talented singer. John Wayne, he's known as a very gifted actor. Donald Trump is best known for his business skills. Well, in the Bible, there are men who are known for their prayers. Two of these are Jabez and Agur. I'm going to pronounce it Agur this evening because that's what I've always pronounced it as I've read. But if you listen to different preachers, you'll hear Agur, Agur, Augur, Agur. I've heard all different pronunciations of that name, but I'm just going to stick with Agur because that's the one that I'm most familiar with. But anyway, these two men are famous for their prayers. As a matter of fact, had it not been for their prayers being recorded in the Bible, we would never have known that either one of these two godly men ever existed. Now, tonight, I want to show you some things that prayer reveals about that man, Agur. Okay, so you got your Bible open here to Proverbs chapter 30. Notice verse 1, the words of Agur, the son of Jacob. Now, as you go through this chapter in verses 2 through 4, he says some wonderful things about God. And then verses 5 and 6, he talks about the word of God. But then when you get to verse 7, he starts talking directly to God. So look at verses 7 through 9. Two things have I required of thee. Deny me not them before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. You know, some men have built tall buildings, and people are still talking about them. Some men have driven race cars and set all kinds of speed records, and people are still talking about them. Well, thousands of years ago, Agur prayed a prayer that contains only 65 words, and today people are still talking about this prayer. And one of the reasons that people are still talking about this short prayer is because it reveals the kind of man Agur was. You see, the one thing we know for sure about this man is that he was a man of prayer. Now, as I said, every one of us, when we depart from this life, will be known for something. Our honesty or our dishonesty, our kindness or our unkindness, our godliness or our ungodliness, our humor or our lack of humor, our politeness or our rudeness. And most likely, a family member will have something inscribed on our tombstone that will represent the way we live. If you walk through cemeteries and look at tombstones, you'll see different things written on there, like a devoted wife or a devoted husband or a wonderful child or a talented carpenter. You'll see all kinds of things written on there. Well, when we leave this life, our family will have probably have something inscribed on our tombstone. And if you could come back and read what they place on your tombstone, would you be proud of what they thought of you, or would you be shocked by what they thought about you? Well, it would not surprise me if wherever they buried Agur, on his tombstone, something was written to indicate that he was a man of prayer. And his prayer life revealed a great deal about the way he lived. So tonight, as I said this morning, I'm not going to keep you long, but we do want to focus on two things tonight. Two things. First of all, the background of his prayer. You know, people sometimes have some really weird ideas about prayer. For instance, some think praying is a forum to exalt themselves. You may have even heard somebody, you know, pray publicly, and when they prayed publicly, all they did was brag about themselves. Keep your finger here in Proverbs 30. We're coming right back. But look over at Luke 18 for a moment, because there we have a story about two men who went up to the temple to pray. And boy, what a contrast between the two. Look at this in Luke chapter 18. All right, we'll begin in verse 10. Read through verse 14. Luke 18. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Did you notice there? The Bible says in verse 11, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. With himself. He wasn't talking to God, right? He was taking that opportunity to let everybody around him know what a great guy he thought he was. But you know what? We don't need to tell the Lord what a great person we are. He already knows everything there is to know about us. But many folks, they apparently don't know the difference between praying and bragging, okay? So some people have a problem with that, a strange view of prayer. And then, of course, some folks don't know the difference between praying and complaining. They're just never satisfied. They're never content, never ever. And all they do when they pray is they whine and they grumble and they gripe, but they complain and they moan. Some folks don't know the difference between praying and complaining. And then, of course, some folks, they pray for the wrong reason. Kind of like the story of the guy who called the pastor of a local church and asked that pastor to come over to his house and pray for his mom, who was very sick with the flu. Well, that pastor knew that family and knew that they had been attending another church down the road. So when he showed up at their house, that pastor asked. He said, shouldn't you be asking Brother Simon down the road to pray for your mom? And the man's response was, yeah, but we didn't want to take the chance that he might catch whatever it is that mom has. Well, my point in all of that is some folks have some weird ideas about prayer. But even though the Bible doesn't tell us a great deal about Agur, his prayer does tell us a great deal about him. For instance, he seems to be an organized man. If you look back at Proverbs 30, verse 7, two things have I required of thee, deny me them not before I die. Before he prayed, he knew exactly what he wanted and how much he wanted. He said, two things have I required or requested of thee. Not three, not four, just two things. The word required there means that there were two things he desired that God would do for him. So we can see from this prayer that he was an organized man. He knew exactly what he wanted from the Lord. It's kind of like when a man goes into an ice cream parlor. He knows he wants some ice cream, right? That's obvious. But it's important that he also knows what flavor and how many scoops. Everyone knows that he didn't come into that ice cream parlor to buy a lawnmower, right? Of course he wants some ice cream. But what kind and how many scoops does he want? Well, when a person comes to the Lord in prayer, it's obvious that they need something from the Lord, but they also need to know what it is they need from him. And Agur did. Agur knew he wanted two specific things from the Lord. He seemed to be an organized man, but he also seemed to be an older man. Speaking of the two things he desired from God, he said, deny me them not before I die. Now, the reason we think that Agur was older is because young people do not usually think of dying. They think that they're going to live forever. But older folks know better, right? The wrinkles are telling them that they're not going to be around forever. Their gray hair is telling them that they're not going to be around forever. The aches and pains that they feel in their body is telling them they're not going to be around forever. Just recently, I picked up the church directory that we made shortly after we arrived in Pasco, Pam and I, 27 years ago. And you know what I noticed? I noticed that my forehead is bigger now than it was back then. Something happened to the hair from here up. It seemed to have disappeared. You know what it reminded me of? Remind me, I'm not going to be around forever. Things like that remind us of that. The older we get, the more we think about dying. And so the reason it's safe to assume that Agur is an older man is because young people, don't usually talk about death or even think about death. But Agur, in his prayer, talks about death. And for that reason, I believe he was probably an older man. Agur said to God in his prayer, I need two things before I die. The older we get in life, the more we recognize that death is imminent. And that's, I think, the reason why we find a lot more older people attending church than younger people. It's because older people recognize that they don't have time to be unfaithful to the house of God. None of us want to die and face the Lord after living a wasted life. You know, we all rejoice about the thief on the cross who came to know Christ as his Savior, but one of the sad things about his conversion is that shortly after he was converted, he died. He didn't have time to go to a job and witness to his friends. He didn't have time to witness to his family members. He didn't have time to send missionaries around the world preaching the gospel. He didn't have time to join a church and get active in it. He got saved, and praise God for that. But right after he was converted, he died. And a lot of folks are kind of like that. They've wasted the years that God gave them. But the really sad thing about this is that there are many who are still wasting every precious day that God gives them. It could be that Agur recognized that the sun was quickly setting in his life, and he desperately wanted God to do some things in his life before he died. Agur knew a great deal about prayer. So we kind of see the background of his prayer there, kind of why he was praying. But I said there are two things. The second thing we want to focus on is the content of his prayer. Not just why was he praying, but what did he pray for? What did he pray for? Look at verses 7, 8, and 9 one more time. It says, we'll go actually 8 and 9. He says, "Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain." Now, by way of introduction to his prayer, he says there in verse 3, "Remove far from me vanity and lies." He was a godly man, and he wanted to live a godly life, right? He wanted to be in a right standing with God. And so he prayed for God to deliver him from evil things, right? Just like Jesus taught us in the Lord's Prayer, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." That's kind of what Agur introduces his little prayer with here. And so he's a godly man. He wants to live a godly life. But as we read, there were two things that he wanted from God in his prayer, okay? First of all, he specifically asked the Lord, "Give me neither poverty." He recognized that if we are burdened with poverty, it limits what we can do for the Lord. We can't help those in need. We can't support missionaries. We can't support God's church financially. Now, there are poor people who cannot support themselves. They've become homeless, not because they're lazy, but misfortune has fallen upon them, and they have lost a job, or they've developed some kind of sickness. It's hard for us who are healthy to really think about the fact that there are people in our community, and in our nursing homes and in the hospital that are just not healthy. And it's hard for us who have an abundance of food to think that there are people who are literally starving to death. There are people who live in poor countries that cannot grow enough food or earn enough money to buy food, and there's nowhere for them to turn. Poverty is a terrible thing. And as bad as it might be in places in America, it's a lot worse in many other countries. And shame on us when we Americans complain because we as a nation are sending food to some of these people in other countries who are nothing but skin and bone and are literally starving to death. Yes, they need the gospel, and yes, we need to be sending missionaries to them, but will they listen if they're starving to death? That's why in Galatians 6:10, Paul says to us, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially them who are of the household of faith." He says, don't limit yourself to just doing good for your brothers and sisters in Christ. He calls us to do good to all men. Agur, he prayed that God would deliver him from poverty, because poverty is a terrible thing. But look at the second thing he wanted to do for him. Wanted God to do for him. He specifically asked the Lord, "Give me neither poverty nor riches." Nor riches. Why doesn't God just make everybody rich? Well, it's because God knows that riches can destroy individuals, just as poverty can destroy people. Agur recognized the perfect balance in life. Not the best, not the worst. Not too much, not too little. Poverty can limit us. Riches can destroy us. Someone said that God created so many poor people because they couldn't handle wealth. And you know, that's proven to be true for many, like who've won the lottery or who, you know, had some, received some large inheritance. In many cases, sudden riches have caused major problems in families and in people's lives and led to divorce, led to suicide, led to murder. I think of Solomon. You know, Solomon was a man that God blessed with wealth and fame. But he was also a man who on many occasions cried out, "All is vanity." In Ecclesiastes 1:14, he says, I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. He said, I've seen it all, I've done it all, I've had it all, but these things have no real fulfillment in life. Now, it's obvious why Agur did not want to be poor, right? He tells us here. He didn't want to be poor so that he would not have to steal in order to have his needs met. That would not be honoring to God. And then he also tells us why he did not want to be rich. Because riches can cause people to deny the Lord. He did not want to develop the attitude, hey, I've got everything I need. What do I need God for? That's not honoring to God either. And so that's why Agur says, remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who's the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. Agur asked to never have riches or poverty. And he's reminding us that if you have your needs met, if you have a roof over your head and you have clothes to wear, and you have food to eat, and you have a healthy body, you have a lot to be thankful for every day. Every day. You know what? The world is full of people who don't have what you have. And you need to be thankful and contented. Remember what the Apostle Paul told us in 1 Timothy 6, verses 6 through 8. He says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Agur reminds us of that. What a wonderful prayer Agur prayed. It gives us some important reminders. And so it is no wonder to me that God records this prayer for us to learn from. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God and for these simple truths from the Scriptures that are really important in our life. Lord, help us to be like Agur and seek not for riches and certainly not to be poor, but Lord, help us to be thankful for the fact that you provide for our needs every day. Lord, you take wonderful care of us. We thank you for the way you provide for us. Help us, Lord, to be satisfied. Help us to be content. Help us to be grateful for what you provide for us every single day of our lives. Help us never take it for granted, but instead help us to appreciate your blessings upon us. In Jesus' name, amen.